And now for something completely different.
Is what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We talk with Janice Dean, author of the new smash book, Freddy the Frogcaster and the Terrible Tornado. And our DDD, our devotional diamond of the day, that which jumps off its scripture and looks at us and says, listen to me. It's titled Not Lacking in today's Facebook post, Doubting the Mission.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to call us at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically, now that's technically, open for conversation. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. It is my privilege for the first time on the show to have Janice Dean with us, the author of Freddy the Frogcaster and the Terrible Tornado. Janice, how you doing?
Very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm holding your book in my hand right now. I have a granddaughter who is a whopping three and a half weeks old. And I am so excited to send this book to my daughter and say, read this to her. Talk to me about this book. Talk to me about what brought you to the place of making a book about terrible tornadoes using Freddy the Frogcaster.
Well, that's a very good question. Congratulations on your new grandchild. That's fabulous. And children are amazing. I have two of my own. Their ages are 5 and 7, Matthew and Theodore. And I love talking to kids. I love going out to schools and talking about weather. That's what I do as a profession. I've been at Fox for 13 years now. And so when I go out to schools, what I've noticed is that kids are more excited to talk about weather than they are scared. And they love to not only find out about what happens in the atmosphere and look up at the sky and look at the clouds and why do thunderstorms happen, they love to talk about storms that have affected them as well. And I thought it would be good to tap into that excitement to teach them how weather happens. And so with my first book, Freddy the Frogcaster, just to give you a little background, Freddy is a frog that loves to look at weather and forecast and frogcast. And he, I guess, kind of interns at the Frog News Network with his pals, Sally Croker and Holly Woggins, who are broadcasters that deliver the news. And so he's been doing that for a while, and he does that after school. And the first one was about a thunderstorm, so we talked about thunderstorms. The second one was a big blizzard, and we talked about blizzards. And then we talked about hurricanes, and now we talk about tornadoes. So there's lots of weather adventures that Freddie can follow up on. But this one I think is important because tornadoes can happen anywhere on the earth. They are more prevalent across the central U.S. where we have all of the ingredients for, in some cases, we could have, big tornado outbreaks. And so they are also very dangerous, and they can happen at a moment's notice. But there are ways to prepare in advance for them. And I think that's important at a young age to talk to your kids about weather, why it happens, and how you can prepare for it. And that was my main goal.
All right. Excellent answer. And that's really a excellent approach to communicating weather and how it impacts our lives. I kind of wish that people had done this when I was younger. You have to kind of learn when you're older. So the idea of you communicating this to younger generation, fantastic idea. I do want people to know FreddyTheFrogcaster.com. Is that the best place for them to go to check out the different books that you have as well as the new one?
Yes, that is all things Freddy, FreddyTheFrogcaster.com. We just launched that a couple of weeks ago, so thank you for mentioning that, David. And it has all sorts of information, not only where you can get the book, but also information about me and other things that I have done in my career. And there's also a brand new app, which I'm excited about. And I know that kids are, you know, very in tune to their iPads and their iPhones. And, you know, listen, I love books and I love reading to my kids. The reason I wanted to develop an app is because a lot of kids like to look at their parents' apps to find out what the weather is going to be. And my kids, they go to school and every day someone is a weather forecaster. They have to come in with the weather forecast. So I thought to myself, why can't I develop a weather app for children so that they have their own place to go for their own forecast? And Freddie does that for them. So they can get their app on their iPhone or their iPad, and Freddie will deliver their 5-day forecast and their current conditions. And there's also really fun weather-related games on there. So you can play these match games where you match the weather front or the weather symbol with the same weather symbol. And then there's also something I love, which is dress Freddie for the weather that is happening right now. So you can actually dress him to go to school, to the school bus. And I'm really proud of that as well. But FreddieTheFrogcaster.com, you can learn all about Freddie and get whatever you need there.
Now, I want you to know, now, Janice, you don't know this, but I've only had one other child author on the show in 3.5 years. You're in good company, though. It was with Weird Al Yankovic. So
you're
kind of running in good company. That two quick questions, okay? I have to ask you.
Yes.
In the book, there's something called an EF rating, and the EF rating has to do, I think, with wind speeds and then the different categories. What is that though? What does that stand for? What's an EF rating?
It's Enhanced Fujita Scale. And that's basically, it used to be just the Fujita scale, but since then, in the last couple of years, they've wanted to sort of get a little bit more specific on what the National Weather Service looks for when they go out and investigate a tornado site. So Enhanced Fujita was named after Dr. Fujita, who came up with the Fujita scale, and it basically ranks tornadoes from 0 to 5, 5 being the most destructive and potentially the most dangerous.
Okay, now here's the biggest question that I'm going to ask you that you'll have to answer in probably 900 future interviews, but I have to ask it because, you know, we've never had a chance to talk. Okay, tell the truth. How did you get to a frog? I got to know. How did you get to a frog? You could have used anything. Freddie the Frogcaster. I mean, you probably could have used a duck, but you could have used this, but you chose a frog. Is there a story there?
Well, of course. I mean, when I first started thinking about a children's book, I started off with a little girl who was afraid of thunderstorms because, you know, as a kid, I was afraid of thunderstorms, but I was more fascinated by them than really being afraid. And when I went to my first publisher, and listen, when I go out to schools, I talk about weather, but I also talk about being a writer, a children's book writer, because it wasn't just like that I got a book published. It took from the idea to actually publishing something, it took 6 or 7 years. And I wrote the first draft, and I got we like the idea of a children's weather book, but, you know, you have to come up with another character, and maybe you need to come up with, like, an animal of some sort. So I thought, okay, an animal. Well, the groundhog was taken. You don't want to do a groundhog because it's Groundhog's Day. And he's not very good either. He doesn't have a very good track record when it comes to forecasting the groundhog. So, you know, I love frogs. I've always loved frogs. I loved Kermit the Frog growing up, and I just think they're cute. And I read somewhere, David, that when frogs are in the forest and they feel the atmosphere is changing, they feel like there's more moisture, or they feel like there's a storm coming on. And again, I don't know if this is scientifically proven, but I did read this. They know that there's a change in the atmosphere, and they croak louder.
Wow.
If that's true, then frogs are natural weather forecasters.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, and from there, I started coming up with names. Like, okay, so let's see, meteorologist, broadcaster, frogcaster. That sounds fun. And then coming up with the great names like Polly Woggins and Sally Croker and Mrs. Amphibian is his teacher. And I have a new character in this book, Tad Polar, who is a storm chaser. So I had so much fun. And then, of course, you have the Frog News Network. You have to have that.
Yeah, that's absolutely it is genius. I mean, I'm going to just say that's pretty good. I mean, Janice, that's pretty good stuff right there. All right.
Thank you.
I mean, I've got to say, and I'm telling you, this is a Class A book. I mean, I get books every single day. When this came, I actually took this from the station and went, look at that. I'm taking this. All right. So FreddyTheFrogCaster.com. You want to check that out. You want to be aware there's an app that Janice put a lot of time into, but that will really help your children understand the process of weather instead of being afraid of weather, but engaging with weather.
Yes.
That's the big process right here. Excellent, excellent job, Janice. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Oh, my gosh. I hope you have me back.
Absolutely. When the next book, you're going to have to just have Caitlin send me an email, and we'll get you coordinated.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you for being on. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
Ever noticed how the talk shows seldom interview people with integrity? Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I don't know who does their bookings, but they are certainly not calling Integrity Central to get their guests. Matter of fact, as Christians, we know that those around us whom we honor for their integrity will never make it into that kind of spotlight. I found that those folks who really make a difference are often not even known that well in the community. What they're doing, you see, is quiet. It's behind the scenes, like keeping vows they made at a wedding altar, like providing faithfully for their family. These stories won't make it to the talk shows, but they will be talked about before the throne of God.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and I want to challenge churches all over America to become part of the National Day of Prayer. If there was ever a day when God's people needed to grab a hold of God and to invite His manifest presence back into our midst, today is that day. In every direction we look in our culture, chaos has taken control. And when God is dismissed from a culture, that vacuum is filled by evil. So it is incumbent upon God's people, through whom He has determined to express His presence, to make contact with Him in unity, on one accord. And one of the best times to do that is the National Day of Prayer. So you and your church need to get involved and make your voices heard on earth, inviting heaven in our midst to turn around a culture in chaos. The National Day of Prayer needs you.
I can be born in a garage, but that doesn't make me a motor car.
Billy Graham.
Jesus said you must be born again. Now, when he said that, he did not mean that you can inherit it. You cannot inherit it. Your father and mother can be the greatest born-again Christians in the world, but that doesn't make you a born-again Christian. I can be born in a garage, but that doesn't make me a motor car. You need changing inside. You must be born from above. That's a supernatural act of God. The Holy Spirit convicts you about the fact that you've sinned against God. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit regenerates you. That's when you're born again. And then the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart to help you in your daily life.
That's the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. If you haven't given your heart to Him, or you're not sure you have, go to BillyGrahamRadio.org, click on Grow Your Faith.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Big shout out to Janice Dean. Did a fantastic job. That's the first time we've had her on the show. She's actually the meteorologist for Fox News. So, I mean, you know, where the you watch a lot of stuff. She's the gal that comes on there and goes, okay, this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. And then she gives her the, this isn't good, you know, kind of thing. What a great job. The book is terrific. I mean, you think, oh, you're just promoting that book. Look, dudette, she's already gone because she's not on the show anymore. She left, right? She's off to another interview somewhere else. I'm telling you, this book on its way to Tennessee on Monday.
So it's going my niece's third birthday is in June, and it's probably coming to San Diego here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, but it's like, come on. It was great, cool, really illustrative, really informative. What a great story on the frog thing. That was pretty funny. All right, so we've only got 2.5 minutes on this segment because we're going to get back into time, which is one of my goals, is whenever our show runs over, I just like to coordinate it back in time. I took some extra time with Janice, because it was the first time that she was on the show. I'm going to read something, and it's not something that I need my very own RoboPaul to script or anything like that. I just want you to just hear what I'm going to say and just think about what I'm about to tell you. Something that Jesus said when he was talking in Matthew chapter 10. He said, but to what shall I compare this? I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 11. But what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. And we sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, well, he is a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus talking about the generation responding to the message of God and using an illustration which is very apt for today, saying, you know, John came, John didn't eat, he didn't drink, and instead of saying anything good or bad about it, you just said he is a demon and tried to ignore him. I come, I'm eating, I'm drinking. Me, you call gluttonous and a drunkard. It's almost as though no matter what the message is from God, the people are never satisfied. They're always looking for something to pick apart in regards to the message and the messenger. And that's something that you and I should be careful about. We should be aware that in our generation, there is a dissatisfaction to such a level that we will hear nothing. What, John the Baptist? Oh, he's just got a demon. What, Jesus? He's just gluttonous and a drunkard. See how it's easy to dismiss when you want to try and pick apart the messenger, even though the picking apart is not true. We, as Bible-believing born-again Christians who have the truth in our hands, should know better and pay more attention to that which we hear. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, and then we're coming back with a DDD. Don't go anywhere. Baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
More local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
Buying a car is time-consuming and stressful. It all comes down to trust. That's why so many of KPRZ staff got their cars from Chris George, now the general manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon.
The engine went out on my SUV, and I was done with not being satisfied with my used vehicle. I needed to get into something quick, had to have very low miles on it, and also something dependable. That's exactly what I got when dealing with Chris. I'm Noah Dingley here at KPRZ, and it was because of Chris George I was able to get my new car, and I am feeling safe on the road again.
Hey, I'm Chris Brown, host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. This is a brand new radio show providing biblical answers for money and life. Well, imagine what life would be like if there were no car payments, student loans, or money fights. What if your finances could be worry-free? God has a lot to say about money. Tune in.
Evenings at 8 on KPRZ.
When we walk with God, people will notice.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Marion Stroud. Which of the five senses brings back your memories most sharply? For Marion, it's definitely the sense of smell. A certain kind of sun oil takes her instantly to a French beach. The smell of chicken mash brings back childhood visits to her grandmother. A hint of pine says Christmas, and a certain kind of aftershave reminds her of her son's teenage years. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, Paul reminded the Corinthians that they were the aroma of Christ. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. He may have been referring to Roman victory parades. The Romans made sure everyone knew they had been victorious by burning incense on altars throughout the city. For the victors, the aroma was pleasing. For the prisoners, it meant certain slavery or death. So as believers, we are victorious soldiers. And when the gospel of Christ is preached, it is a pleasing fragrance to God. As the aroma of Christ, what perfumes do Christians bring with them as they walk into a room? It's not something that can be bought in a bottle or a jar. When we spend time with someone, we begin to think and act like that person. Spending time with Jesus will help us spread a pleasing fragrance to those around us. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. This segment brought to you by our very good friends at Mazda El Cajon and Chris George, my buddy, who's going to be attending our event. We're really appreciative that he and his wife will be there as well as their guests. Hey, if you're looking for a car that you think is solid, gets great gas mileage, you're not going to have to be concerned about the service that you're going to get on the car. You understand the quality of the car. Mazda is going to be it. When I went to Tennessee with my wife, we rented a Mazda 3. Went great, drove great. We were there for 5 days from Memphis to Covington. Go check it out on a map. Go Google it. And all those little cities in between, we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Turned the car back in. $8.01 in gas. Drove like a champ. Fantastic in its smoothness and its pickup. If you're interested in a quality car, Mazda El Cajon. Go to Google, type in Mazda El Cajon. The website will pop up, or you can go to Mazda-ElCajon.com. You can go down and see Chris at 900 Arnell Avenue. You can call him up on the phone. Talk to him. 800-418-4444. 800-418-4444. The big thing about Mazda, they want to just put you in the car that is just right. Want to make sure that you love what you drive. And that's important. Because especially in California with all the traffic, bleh, you'd like to enjoy what you're driving from time to time. I say yes. So with that in mind, check out Mazda El Cajon, Mazda-ElCajon.com. Pretty straightforward there. I like stuff like that. All right. So this DDD is going to be a wee, not tremendously different, but maybe just a little bit different. It's titled The Difference Between You and the World. The Difference Between You and the World. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So if you're really trying to differentiate into the theology, into pneumatology specifically, which is the study of the Spirit, you will understand that in being a believer in Jesus Christ, and next week we're going to talk about you know, what the believer, you know, what comes with the believing or what doesn't come with the believing. And then actually, the next segment, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and salvation in regards to justification and regeneration. So if you're trying to figure out how come I'm a Baptist or a Pentabap, you're going to find out in the next segment. But the biggest difference between you and the world and me in the world as it sits now is our faith in Jesus Christ being the Messiah, being the testimony from God, the witness from God, and the Lamb of God, and God himself. When you access that position of belief or faith, by God's generosity and grace, he pours his Holy Spirit into your life. And here's a key component of understanding this. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, remember, your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you does not live in an unbeliever. Period. The Spirit of the living God, who is inside of you. By the way, if the Holy Spirit's not inside of you, you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Just in case you're wondering. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you does not abide in people who are non-believers, does not abide in worldly people. You want to know the difference between you, me, believers, RoboPaul, RoboProducer, the people we have here at the station, and then the people who might be in Washington who really don't seem to care about faith or preserving faith or scripture or church or any. You want to know that big difference? The Holy Spirit does not live inside of them. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Now, that's important for a number of reasons, not the least of which is it should tell you why we should be presenting ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis to be used by him and directed by him and guided by him. After all, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit abiding in you is a big part of how God moves you and connects you in different directions and guidance. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit counsels us. What do you think a counselor does? I'm just curious. You ever went to counseling in your life? You ever counseled with your pastor? You ever counseled with a professional counselor? Nothing wrong with that. Oh, I saw a psychiatrist. So what? People need help all the time getting insight. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit's the best of all counselors living inside of you. The Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of make you feel good, not the Spirit of you're fantastic or you're just a worthless worm, the Spirit of truth. That apart from Christ, you really can't do much and your value is that of the blood of Jesus. Ooh, cool. But that Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You walk in connection and communion with the Lord. Hey, don't let the people, oh, that just sounds weird. Who cares if somebody thinks that's weird? I think it's fantastic that the Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside me. How cool is that? It's wonderful. For those that are hearing this and it's piercing your ears, and you can't stand to hear it, that's because the Holy Spirit's not inside of you. That's why. So here it is. Jesus promises to give us another, a counselor, who will be with us forever. And the world is unable to receive him, not it, but the world is unable to receive him, not it. And it does not see him or know him. But because we know Jesus, the Holy Spirit abides in us and remains in us. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words that cannot be expressed, the Bible says in Romans 8:26. That's a big distinction between you and me and Bible-believing Christians and non-believers, the Spirit of the living God lives in us. Wow. I'll take it all day long. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high. It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, this is Chris Brown, and I want to tell you about Financial Peace University. Created by my friend and financial expert, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University has helped 4 million people take control of their money, get out of debt, and save for the future. For a limited time, sign up to coordinate a Financial Peace University class where you live, and you can go through the class for free. For more information, visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com to learn more.
Listen to Chris Brown's True Stewardship weekdays at 8 p.m. right here on KPRZ.
What we think of as Europe is pretty easy to define these days, but it wasn't always so, and it may not be for long. I'll explain next on Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Is Europe a continent? This is not a trick question. Geographers and historians aren't quite sure, not for reasons having to do with political correctness or other ideological controversies, but because of geography. With the other six continents, Asia, Africa, Australia, Antarctica, North America, and South America, it's fairly simple to tell where they begin and end. But the same can't be said of Europe. As Wikipedia tells us, the borders of Europe are arbitrary. Yet as Wikipedia also tells us, the definition of a continent, especially Europe, also includes cultural and political elements. And as a recent article in the Atlantic Monthly told readers, in Europe's case, culture until recently meant Christianity. In the article provocatively entitled How Islam Created Europe, Robert D. Kaplan tells readers that in Greek and Roman times, Europe referred to the world surrounding the Mediterranean. In fact, the mythological character Europa, from whom we get the word Europe, was a Phoenician woman from what is now Israel and Lebanon. In this understanding, Europe included places like North Africa, but not what's now Germany, France, the Netherlands, and Scandinavia. What changed the definition was the spread of Islam across North Africa and the Eastern Mediterranean, what is known as the Levant. Islamic civilization, especially when its forces were turned back by Charles Martel at the Battle of Tours in 732, gave people all across Christian Europe something to define themselves against. As the expression Christian Europe suggests, over time, Europeans came to see themselves as part of a larger entity that was, like the Islamic world, defined in religious terms. Kaplan quotes the 1957 book Europe, the Emergence of an Idea, which tells readers that European unity began with the concept of a Christendom in inevitable opposition to Islam. The most famous example of this inevitable opposition is, of course, the Crusades. While the Crusades are endlessly debated, one thing about them isn't. The European forces saw themselves primarily as a force of Christians, which was their shared identity and basis for unity. Christianity was the source of the cultural and political elements that make Europe a continent, and not simply a glorified peninsula at the end of the Eurasian landmass. And that prompts the obvious question. What do you call Europe without Christianity? Kaplan's answer, in keeping with his 2012 book, The Revenge of Geography, is that classical geography is organically reasserting itself, reuniting the Mediterranean basin, including North Africa and the Levant, with Europe. That reunification is being hastened, of course, by waves of hundreds of thousands of Syrian and African migrants who, by the way, have no desire to be Christian. This phenomenon threatens to undermine the fragile social peace, as well as undermine the modern European project. If so, it's a self-inflicted wound. European elites have long worked overtime to downplay their Christian heritage and have used idealistic rhetoric to deny the forces of religion and ethnicity. The most famous example of this was the preamble to the EU's constitution, which omitted any mention of Christianity as a source of Europe's values. This is, historically speaking, nonsense. It's also self-destructive since, because, as Kaplan tells us, Christianity is one of the forces that provided European states with their own internal cohesion. Without Christianity, Europe is hobbled in its attempts to resist the reassertion of classical geography. In other words, if Europe is eventually Islamicized, as many predict, it will only be because it was first de-Christianized. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We invite you to get a free downloadable excerpt from Restoring All Things, the book by John Stone Street and Warren Cole Smith. Just go to breakpoint.org/free.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Hey, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. That's a great way to do it. That's a great way to reach out. We love it. And also, we have actually a Facebook page. Not that I ever promote the Facebook page, but I guess I should probably try to promote the Facebook page. It's the David Spoon Experience on Facebook. Only problem is that you can go to Facebook and type in David Spoon, and then I have like these multiple other pages. So you want the David Spoon Experience page. That's the one you want to get to. You're welcome to comment. Let us know what you think. Doing the best we can, of course, trying to make connections between people and ministries and people and churches and people and people. That's our big thing. I do want to let you know, for those that don't know, this segment brought to you by Excalibur Roofing and our great friends Eric and Ingrid Holloway. I love it. Ingrid calls into the station. I didn't get a chance to talk to her, so she tells our very own Brittany. She goes, make sure to go talk to David. Tell him like a big hug for him. It's like the greatest thing is to have these great relationships with the sponsors and the people that support your shows, because it's friendships all the way. And, you know, we're in this together. We really are. I know there's a lot of disagreements and a lot of tension and a lot of up and a lot of down. I get it. And we're not really that great at doing church a lot of times. I get it. But the core is when you care for one another, love one another, take care of one another, protect one another, help one another, pray for one another, watch out for one another, even be willing to correct one another, especially if it's done with the right disposition or right mindset, then you really are loving one another. My son does something wrong and I tell him, hey, do it this way or do it this way. I've had the experience in this. I don't do that because I'm trying to be mean. I do it because I know I've been there. I'm trying to save him some of my own mistakes, which are 15 or 16 million of them, so I can save him quite a bit of stuff. Anyhow, going back to Excalibur Roofing, if you are interested in having any roof work done, period, any roof work done, period, ExcaliburRoofing.com. ExcaliburRoofing.com. Go to Facebook and type in Excalibur Roofing. That'll tell you what you want to know, give you kind of a good feel for what they're doing. Eric and Ingrid are great people to work with, great people to engage with. You can call them at 760-743-8803. 760-743-8803. Excalibur Roofing. Doesn't matter if it's new roof construction, old roof replacements, doesn't matter if it's residential, commercial. Eric and Ingrid will take care of you. Cool. All right, let's do our big DDD, which will wind us down towards the end of the show. This one is called Not Lacking. And people have asked me, Dave, you know, why are you a Baptist? Why do you have a Baptist ordination and a Pentecostal ordination? Well, A, I'm Jewish. So when you first become a Christian, you're not really sure where you're supposed to go. So I went a little bit more Bible-oriented than most people without going to church in the first year or so or 2 years or so of my Christianity. So I did the Christian thing without the denominational input thing. So a lot of my conclusions about my communion with the Lord, I didn't arrive at because somebody taught me. I just arrived at it because that's where the Lord led me. Did the best I could like anybody else would. And then I went into the educational part of it. So, you know, I kind of went at that a little different than most people. Here's something I'm going to give you that a lot of people will reject from a theological point of view. I understand. I'm just telling you my take on it. Doesn't mean it's the perfect take, but it is my take, and I'll give it to you the best I can. This title is called Not Lacking, L-A-C-K-I-N-G, Not Lacking. 1 Corinthians 1 6 through 8 says this: even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's words and works in our lives confirm the truth about Jesus. The testimony about Christ is confirmed among us through God's words and through God's works in our lives. The truth about Jesus is declared, And then the scripture says, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. We are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Here's where the Baptist part comes right here. The Holy Spirit, as I understand theology, comes with salvation. You don't get Jesus and the Father, but then you don't get the Holy Spirit. That seems rather dumb. You don't get the Father and the Son and not the Spirit. You get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The whole process is our communion with the Lord. Primarily, it's impossible to get to regeneration apart from the Holy Spirit, and regeneration is needed for the core of salvation. There's no real way you can be saved if the Holy Spirit's not involved. So it's kind of goofy from a theological point of view. However, with that being said, when you do become a Christian, I think it's also fair and obvious to say that the Holy Spirit is not always fully responded to or yielded to in the beginning of your walk, especially for somebody like me who became a Christian, and it was a full 6 months later until the Lord said, that's enough, pal. I mean, it was a while. It had to work into my system, and it had to work through me. Was I saved in those earlier 6 months? You bet. Was I effective for the kingdom? Not a chance. So what's the differential? As the Lord was working in me, I became more and more responsive to that which the Holy Spirit was working in my life. But when I first said yes, not so much. But does that mean the Holy Spirit wasn't there? No. Just means that I wasn't, operating with the Spirit. I was just like operating in my flesh. And as life goes on, what you find out, I think, is that in your salvation process, you get the package. But the fact of the matter is you don't always unwrap the fullness of the package on the first day or the fifth day or the first year or the fifth year. It takes time. In fact, what I've noticed for me is it seems like it takes some sense of maturity, which gives me a huge disadvantage, some sense of knowledge, which I get a little bit, and a certain sense of willingness for us to engage with God on a regular basis. So while we get the full package that God has for us when we get saved, we don't always access the full package when we get saved. And that's why we incrementally grow in the Lord, section by section, glory by glory, and piece by piece. Do you get the Holy Spirit when you're saved? Yes. Are you engaged fully 100% with the Holy Spirit when you get saved? Not often. That's the fact. And the more we grow and the more we develop and the more we engage with the Spirit, I mean, there's a reason why Scripture says be filled with the Spirit, as it's a continual action. There's a reason why in Acts they were filled with the Spirit and two chapters later they were filled again with the Spirit. There is this realm where when we're engaging with the Spirit, there is either a creation of more room for the Spirit or a spending of the Spirit, one or the other. I don't care which one it is, but there's more to go and more to grow in. And I do believe Jesus was talking to believers when he said, if you ask for good gifts, your Father will give them to you. How much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit? It's like, okay, I need more of you, Holy Spirit, working in me. Which probably has more to do with us shedding some of the flesh than anything else. But from a theological point of view, I can live with it either way. Here's what I know for sure. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and poured the Holy Spirit into us, when we acknowledge the testimony that God has given us through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ will sustain us to the end. This goes until the day of the Lord or until the second coming or until the revealing of the Lord, which could be eschatologically, the trumpet. It could be eschatologically the end. It could be whatever. What I know is that I am sustained to the end by Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and selected, elected by God the Father. And between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, doing great. We should all be doing great because the Lord God Almighty loves us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Taking a short break. Then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river wide.
Local, national.
National and Heavenly Talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Maranatha Christian Schools, one of San Diego's premier private schools, is growing, and we want to invite you to be a part of it. Come tour our campus on Fridays, no appointments necessary. Our friendly admissions staff will be ready to show you our beautiful campus as they tell you about our excellent academics, sports, and arts programs. Plus, you'll learn how we integrate the biblical worldview into our curriculum. As you visit, you'll be able to see inside our classrooms and have a chance to experience our school's environment. Many have said, I truly feel like I'm standing on holy ground. This is where I want my children to go to school. We are serious about what we do, and we have worked hard to provide an environment that fosters creativity, excellence, and community involvement. We're ready for you and your students. Check us out online at maranathachristianschools.org. That's maranathachristianschools.org. Or call 858-759-9737. That's 858-759-9737.
Georgia is becoming a very unwelcoming place for Christians. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Bivocational pastors, be warned. What you say from the pulpit on Sunday could get you fired from your public sector job on Monday. Dr. Eric Walsh, a renowned public health expert who also serves as a lay minister, has filed a federal lawsuit against the Georgia Department of Public Health, alleging he was terminated for delivering sermons on issues ranging from homosexuality to evolution. Attorney Jeremy Dice, who's representing Walsh, said no one in this country should be fired from their job for something that was said in a church or from a pulpit during a sermon. They contend that the Georgia Department of Public Health assigned workers to investigate sermons Dr. Walsh delivered on health, marriage, sexuality, world religions, science, and creationism. He also preached on what the Bible says about homosexuality. A spokesperson for the Georgia Department of Public Health did not return phone calls or email inquiries. This is the latest example of Christians being targeted in Georgia. Last year, Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran was fired for a book he wrote that was critical of homosexuality. And earlier this year, Governor Nathan Deal vetoed a religious protection bill that had wide legislative support. Dice said, "It's becoming clear to me that people of faith will not find safe refuge in the state of Georgia," adding, "First they silenced the sheep, and now they're trying to silence the shepherds." Are you looking for affordable health care, maybe even health care that follows your biblical principles? Then you'll want to find out more about MediShare. MediShare is Christians helping Christians with their health care costs. And since 1993, more than $1 billion in medical expenses have been shared or discounted. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Trinity Christian School in Spring Valley is offering a full-year K through 8th grade tuition for half price. Now is the time to get a head start on the next school year, and Trinity Christian School is one of San Diego's top Christian schools. There's only two of these half-price tuitions available. Go to crazyprice.com for details. That's crazyprice.com. Give your child the Christian education you want them to have, only at crazyprice.com. crazyprice.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Let's cover a little bit of our history. And then we'll get into our Facebook post, titled Doubting the Mission. Here's a little bit of history for those who would like to know. I thought we covered that yesterday. I don't think that's accurate. I'm going to drop that piece of history and go right into this. Today is Arbor Day. For those who want to know what Arbor Day, that's not Ann Arbor Day for Michigan fans. I know you wish it was, but it's not. It has to do with planting and caring for trees. This originated, by the way, in Nebraska City, Nebraska, in 1872. Initiated by J. Sterling Morton. That's the founder of Arbor Day. And it's estimated that on April 10th, 1872, an estimated 1 million trees were planted on the very first Arbor Day. Wow. Who knew? I didn't know. Here's something that's equally important to all things that we take care of on this show. Today is Shrimp Scampi Day. Yes, that is important. Scampi is often the menu name for shrimp in Italian-American cuisine. Scampi by itself is served in garlic butter and dry white wine, served with either bread or over pasta or rice. And now I'm really hungry and I haven't eaten lunch. So that's another thing I got to keep in mind. Oy, oy, oy. For those that really understand history, in 1913 on this day, Swedish-born engineer Gideon Sundback of Hoboken, New Jersey, received the United States patent for a separable fastener, also known as the zipper. So if you want to know, it happened on this day in 1913.
And the world has never been the same.
Never been the same since then. That's for sure. And this is a little bit of a mind blower, and then we'll get our Facebook post, but I thought it was unique. In 1957, the SM-1, the first military nuclear power plant, was dedicated in Virginia. On this day in 1957, who knew? Who knew that it was 50 nuclear power plants were 58 years old? I didn't. Okay. All right, let's get to our Facebook post music, and then we'll get to our Facebook post. What do you got for us, RoboPaul? I know nothing. Is that right? Is
absolutely not. It's Mikhail's Navy.
Oh, Mikhail's Navy. Oh, that's Ernest Borgnine, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought it was Hogan's Heroes. See how bad I'm getting? I think I'm starting to lose it. All these songs are starting to get together in my mind. Ernest Borgnine with Mikhail's Navy. I'm trying to think of who that other guy was in that show. That was a classic, huh?
At least it was a military show, so you're on the right track.
Yeah. Well, that was close, right? Okay, not that close. Here we go. Today's Facebook goes, this shows something to laugh about going into the weekend. Exodus chapter 6, verse 12. Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How will Pharaoh listen to me? For I'm unskilled in speech. For each one of us, we have been called by God. And we've been called by God to do something, to do anything, in fact. And oftentimes we think, well, this thing that the Lord's put before me, it's above my head. So you and I should immediately connect with Moses, who was like, I can't do this. The children of Israel won't listen to me. How's Pharaoh going to listen to me? Nobody's listening to me. He said, my own people won't listen. Why would this leader listen to me? In fact, God, I am unqualified. Right. That's true. Every person in ministry is unqualified, technically, in the context that we are fully dependent on God and cannot do it with our qualifications as we stand by ourselves. What's great about ministry service and quality Christian living is that it shows dependence upon God, not by ourselves, no dice. But with Jesus, anything is possible, including effective ministry and effective living. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California, taking a 70-hour break. And then we'll be back, more insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. We come alive.